Good morning, everybody. It's certainly good to see everybody out. We've got a good audience this morning. Tony, it's good to have you with us today. Kenny, we're glad to see your operation went well and you're doing good. And it's good to have everybody. Kathy, it's good to have you with us today. It's just, we've got a good number here this morning and so much to be thankful for. So much. And the sermon is, Are You Still Thankful? You know, we've just celebrated a national holiday of Thanksgiving. Sometimes sermons are done before an event like that to remind us about being thankful. I wanted to do this one after, just to consider if we are still thankful for some things that we should be thankful for. If you still have your Bibles open to Psalm 107, let's look at a little bit more of those verses in Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's something we need to keep in mind. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man. A lot of times when I start giving a lesson, I mention something about our society because it's just so evident when we look around. We live in a very thankless society. People have an idea, a mindset of entitlement. You owe me this. You owe me that. This person owes me this, and they do not have a spirit of thankfulness. You think about, and this is nothing new, you go back and you read in the New Testament when Jesus healed 10 lepers, how many came and thanked him? Just one. He said, didn't I heal 10? Where are the other 9? Thankfulness has always been a mindset that not everybody has developed. So what does it mean to be thankful? Thankful is to show gratitude, to make acknowledgement with praise, to acknowledge fully, to celebrate fully. And when we think of the holiday Thanksgiving, I was going to go in a little different direction and talk about that some, and even just in doing research on it, you can see where there is a coordinated effort to rewrite history. And when I looked up Thanksgiving, and the first definition that came up was a harvest festival. And true, it was a harvest festival. But why did they celebrate Thanksgiving? They were giving thanks to God. They were giving thanks to God for everything that they had. And that is the part that is being omitted. So I want us to think about our thankfulness. And again, just thinking of the holiday Thanksgiving, the turkey, the ham, all the food. And we are so thankful for that day. But that was a couple days ago. Are we still thankful? Are we as thankful as we said we were then? But I don't want us to think about the physical blessings this morning. But I want us to consider if we are still thankful for some of the things that we should be. If you have a bulletin to follow along, you'll see the first question I asked there. Are you still thankful that someone taught you the truth? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Are you still glad that someone obeyed the Great Commission, and they didn't just obey it by being baptized, but they obeyed it by taking that next step and teaching you? What if somebody had not taught you the truth? We should all be so thankful that we have learned the truth. There are so many circumstances, if they had been different, we might be worshiping in one of the buildings across the street. We might be sitting at home. Have we ever stopped and just expressed our gratitude and our thankfulness, acknowledged fully that someone taught us the truth? That is such a blessing. That is such a blessing. So how do we express our thankfulness that someone taught us the truth? It's real easy. We go out and teach somebody else. We share the gospel with somebody else. Another question. Are you still thankful that you were added to the church? You know, all of us here are Gentiles. We were alienated from Christ. We are not Jews, but through Christ, we are reconciled. We are brought together, both Jew and Gentile, in Christ. And then we are added to the church. Acts 2, 46 and 47. "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." You see, Jesus is the Savior of the body. The body is the church. The church is the body. All of the saved are in the church. And if we are in the church, not this building, if we were added to the church, we should be thankful. We should be thankful of that. We were granted permission by the grace of God, the grace and mercy of God, to enter into His church. Just think, for centuries, the Gentiles didn't have any hope at all about that. God didn't owe that to us. Some people act as if they have the attitude, "Well, God owes me this." Friends, God doesn't owe us a thing. And everything that we have, as was mentioned in Bible class this morning, we should be thankful to God for everything. And one of the greatest blessings that He has given us is that He has added us to the church. And we just, when we stop and think about all the things that we are thankful for, we need to be so thankful that He added us to His church. How do we show that? How do we acknowledge that? How do we celebrate that fully? How do we make acknowledgement? We work in the church. We work in the vineyard. We exhort and encourage each other. We edify and build each other up. We show our thankfulness by being active in the church. How about being baptized for the remission of your sins? Are you still thankful for that? Do you remember the day, the night, the morning that you were baptized? Do you remember how thankful you were when that happened? Turn in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 36. "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" Now, before we go further, just notice, the eunuch said that he believed, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." A lot of people would say, "That's good enough, you're saved." No, the eunuch understood that he needed to be baptized. In verse 38, So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. So we see both of them got in. We see baptism isn't sprinkling or pouring. They both went down into the water and he baptized them. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And what did the eunuch do? He went on his way rejoicing. Why did he rejoice? Because he was baptized for the remission of his sins. We've been studying sin. We studied it for so many Wednesday evenings. We know that the wages of sin is death. We know that sin separates us from God. If we are separated from God, we are without hope. But if we are baptized, we can have the remission of our past sins. And I hope and pray that when all of us were baptized, we rejoiced at that. We were so thankful for that, that that load was lifted off of us. We have that peace. We are redeemed. We are reconciled. But you know, just like we were talking about the inheritance, and we'll get to that a little bit later on in here. We should be, well, how long have you been baptized? How long have you been baptized? A couple of years, 10 years, 20 years, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Are you as thankful today that your sins are forgiven as you were the day that you were baptized? Or do you just take it for granted? You know, I'm entitled to that. I'm entitled. I did what God said, so He owes me remission of sins. Friends, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful that we were baptized for the remission of our sins and show that. And again, how do we show that? We show that by the joy in our life. I'm not bound for hell anymore. I'm bound for heaven. I'm bound for heaven, and I am so thankful. Are you still thankful that you are forgiven of your past sins? Acts 22 and 16. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You know, sin is a heavy load to carry around. It'll weight us down. It'll make us guilty. It can make us sick. It can cause physical ailments before you even start and think about the spiritual death. We should be so thankful that we are forgiven of our past sins. You know, the Hebrews, the Israelites, they did not have that same blessing that we have, because their sins were always rolled forward year after year after year. The priest would offer these sacrifices year after year after year in the Old Testament. But Jesus died once for all. He did not have to be sacrificed over and over again. And Peter, as we've been studying in the first letter that Peter wrote, that we are priests, we are forgiven of our past sins, and we do not have to go to a priest today as the Israelites did in the Old Testament, because we as priests can approach God when we sin, and we can ask God for the forgiveness of our sins when we have been washed by His blood in baptism. We should be so thankful for that. Have we stopped being thankful for that? Or again, do we just think, well, I'm entitled to that. God owes me that. God owes me that. How about, are you still thankful that God had His word recorded for you? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and of the partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. And in John chapter 12 and verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Friends, how thankful are we that God had his word recorded and written down. As Paul said in Ephesians 3, it was written, and we have a record of what God wants to do. His word is going to stand till the end of time. And when Jesus said that the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day, what if we didn't have that word written down? Just think, what if we just had that oral tradition, and we know that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus said his word is, we're going to be judged by his word, but we don't have a copy of his word. How are we going to know what to do? How are we going to know how to live? How are we going to know what is sin? But you see, when Jesus said we're going to be judged by this, so this is going to be our test. This is going to be our test. But God has given us the answers to this test, and he has written them down so that we can be ready. We are so blessed to live in the time that we do. Just think again back to the first century. If you wanted to know something about God's word, what would you have to do? You would have to go to a synagogue or somewhere where there may be a copy of the old scriptures. You may have to find somebody that knew what somebody had told him. Manuscripts were not plentiful. They were very, very rare. Even once all the word was revealed and written down and then compiled, you stop and think about that too. All of these different epistles in the New Testament, it was years before they were all compiled together. The church at Ephesus would have a letter, but they might not know what was written to the church at Corinth or Thessalonica or Rome. These all had to be compiled and put together, and we have that complete record all in one place. But even when that was done, Bibles for so many centuries were so scarce because they were hard to reproduce. They would have to be copied by hand until the invention of the printing press. And we're living in a day where Bibles are so plentiful. We can have a written copy, and I probably have at least a dozen Bibles at home, different translations. I've got a really nice leather Bible about this big. I don't carry it because it weighs so much. I use it at home. I got it for like $1 at a garage sale. $1. And it's God's Word. Bibles are plentiful. We have them on paper. We can have them on a CD to listen to. Put it in our car, put it in our player at home. We have it on, we can get them on DVD. I have seen a couple gospels that were in video form, and it is so interesting. They have word for word what the Bible says, but it's so interesting seeing it being acted out. We can have the Bible on our phone. We can have the Bible on our phone and pull up something we want to read. The Bible is so thankful, or the Bible is so, so plentiful, and we should be so thankful that we live in a time when we have it available to us. So how do we show our thankfulness? How do we do that? Do we take our Bible and set it on the coffee table and leave it there? Or do we take our Bible and show our gratitude? Do we acknowledge how thankful we are that we have God's Word written down, and we open it and we read it every day? We listen to it. We study it. Are we still thankful? Are we still thankful that God had His Word recorded for us? Are you thankful that you are a member of the family in Christ? In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with His might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." It is such a great blessing to be part of the family of God, that we have God as our Father. We have a family all over this world of other Christians. Christ dwells in our heart through faith, and that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. How do we do that? How do we understand the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge? It's as we come together as a family and study, read His Word and study. And we come together to do that. We come together to be part of that family. The early Christians continued daily from house to house. We read over and over where they came together on the first day of the week. We read places where they came together at other times also to be together. Again, we just celebrated a national holiday of Thanksgiving. Did anybody spend time with their family? I'm guessing if we had the opportunity and the ability, we spent time with our family. And I was telling somebody here earlier, I saw one of my brothers yesterday. I hadn't seen in a long time, and just had the best talk and visit with him, because he's my brother. He's my brother. And we should be thankful for our physical families, and we should be thankful for our family in Christ. It's one of the richest blessings that we have. Do we appreciate that? So if I'm thankful that I am part of the family of Christ, how do I show that? How do I demonstrate that? How do I celebrate that fully? How do I acknowledge that? Again, I come together. We come together. We spend time together. It doesn't have to be just here. We spend time together. We need to. And that will strengthen us, and that will help us get through the storms of life. But are we like the 9 lepers, that Christ healed us, and then we go away and don't want to see the family? And thinking about those lepers too, thinking about them and all of these things that I am mentioning, if you had leprosy, you had a disease that could not be cured. You were going to die. Your body would basically just rot, and it would start falling apart. So that was bad. The other thing that went along with that, because of this disease that you had, you were a social outcast. Nobody wanted to be around you. They would put you in these groups, and if someone were to come close, you were to yell that you had leprosy. So you are dying of this incurable disease and you are a social outcast. And you think about us and the condition that we were in. We were dying in sin. We were dying in sin. And we were outcast. We were enemies of God. We were separated from God. And Jesus heals us. He heals us. He adds us to this family in Christ. And what do we do? How do we show our thanks? Well, I might come if I get a chance. I might do this. I might do that. Are we still thankful? Are we still thankful? Are you thankful for the sacrifice that Christ made for you? Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You stop and think about the sacrifice that Christ made for us. It ended in that horrible sacrifice on the cross. But his sacrifice began when he left heaven. He gave up heaven. He gave up that place of no sin, that place of perfection. He came down to this earth in the form of a man to suffer, to be tempted like we are, to go through the things that we have to go through. He was rejected. He was rejected by his own countrymen. He was rejected by his family. He was rejected by the Jews that he came to save, and they ended up crucifying him. But he made that sacrifice for us. And we think about sacrifices that people make, and think about the military. Think about some of you may have served in the military, been involved in wars, or know people. We all know people probably that have lost their life in a battle, in a war. And you think about all of those people that sacrificed their lives. Just think about our country. Just think about all these people that lost their lives, that sacrificed their lives for our country. Think about all those people that sacrificed their lives from when this country was founded up until now, 2018, all those people that sacrificed their lives. You take all of those people and the sacrifice that they made and you compare it to Christ, and there's no comparison. There's no comparison. Christ died for sins that we committed. He took on the sin of the whole world. The whole world. He died for us. He died for you. And he died for me. And you could have a million soldiers, millions on top of millions of soldiers die, and they would never save me. I would still be headed to hell. You would be headed to hell. But that sacrifice that Christ made for us, are we still thankful for that? We come together to think about it every first day of the week. Are we still thankful for that? Are we still thankful? Are you thankful? Are you still thankful for your inheritance? In 1 Peter chapter 1, as we've been studying this, and this has given me a lot of encouragement and motivation going over this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Are you thankful for your inheritance? You see, this inheritance is part of our motivation. If someone said that in a short time you're going to inherit $10 million, that would probably change your thinking about a lot of things, change your outlook on some things. And you would probably get excited about that. Boy, in a short time, I tell you, I would get excited. In a short time, you're going to inherit $10 million. We'd get excited. Friends, in a short time, we are going to receive an inheritance, not $10 million. We are going to receive an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, kept by the power of God. And in this, we should greatly rejoice. Are we thankful for that inheritance that we are going to receive? And lastly, are you still thankful for the trials that God gives you? Maybe we never were thankful for the trials that God gives us. Maybe we need to learn to be thankful for the trials God gives us. And we need to learn to still be thankful for the trials He gives us. Drop on down in 1 Peter chapter 1 to verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, friends, trials prove if we are worthy of our inheritance. And we should be thankful that God gives us these trials. So if we stumble and fall, we can make correction in our life so that we can receive this inheritance. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it is strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. So when we have trials come into our life, and I'm as guilty as the next person, we have a trial come into our life, I usually look at it as something bad instead of something good. Where did that trial come from? God is trying us. He is testing us, just like He tests gold. And we are worth so much more than gold. And these trials will strengthen us. They will make us draw closer to Him. If we didn't go through any trials, we'd just want to keep living here on earth. We'd say this is a pretty good place to live. But the older you get, the more trials you go through, this earth, the attachment to it is a whole lot less. It's a whole lot less because we're looking for a home, an inheritance that is waiting for us if we are faithful to God. Are we still thankful? Are we still thankful that someone taught us the truth, that we were added to the church? Are we still thankful that we were baptized, that we were forgiven of our past sins? Are we thankful that God had His Word recorded for us so that we can open up a Bible any day, any time, and know the mind of God? Are we thankful for the family that we have in Christ and the strength that we can get from that? Are we thankful for the sacrifice that Christ made for us? Are we thankful for our inheritance? Are we still thankful for the trials that God gives to us? Friends, we've got so much to be thankful for. So much, and on top of this, you know, however you want to look at it, God gives us the physical blessings, but we are so blessed, and we should always, as we read in Psalm, show our praise and thankfulness to God. I'm thankful because I do not deserve any of this. And I can say, objectively, none of us here deserve any of this. We aren't entitled to this. But God, out of His love and mercy and grace, has given this to us if if we will submit to Him, if we will repent and turn from our ways and turn to God and be buried in baptism, that we can be forgiven of those past sins and then live for Christ, be thankful to Him and worship Him. And as we do that, we'll look forward to the time when we can worship Him for time without end. If there's anybody here this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.